Before we get started with today's show, I wanted to tell you about another great podcast. ESPN and Anscape contributor Dominique Foxworth has a new podcast every Tuesday and Thursday, bringing his unique perspectives on football, the personalities surrounding it, and just about anything else he finds interesting or thinks you might. So check out the Dominique Foxworth Show. Listen wherever you get your podcasts. The Right Time is brought to you by Dr. Pepper. It ain't college football season without the delicious taste of an ice-cold Dr. Pepper, the one fans deserve. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Right Time. My name is Bomani Jones. Thanks for listening wherever you get your podcast. Rate us, review us, give us 5 stars. You only give us 4 stars, I'm inclined to believe you are a hater. It is Foxworth Monday? Are we Foxworth Monday? Are we early weekend? Foxworth early week. Yeah, Dominique Foxworth, what's going on?
Not much. I mean, I feel like we haven't even been preparing people for the different days of the week. It's just like a treat. I feel like somebody is going to wake up this morning and be like, oh.
Yes, that's just kind of how it goes. You know why? Because we only kind of know, right? Like, it is a, hey, I think I can do it this day this week. Hey, I think I can do it this day next week. And I think next week we're going to do one day a week. And then after that, you know, you folks probably going to get your boy back full on. But since we got Dominique, and thank you for watching us on YouTube, by the way, we're going to talk about some of what's been going on with the NFL. But right fast, for those of us who have checked out the Dominique Foxworth Show, if you haven't, you should. It's good stuff. It's good stuff. And I give you credit for brilliant producing on having your wife come in and do the errors and omissions at the end. It sounds like she was born for that job.
I've been telling her for a long time. It's like, this, don't tell her, but this is my secret plan, is we're going to keep getting her on and I'm a transition. She's much smarter, much more attractive, much more charismatic than me. Why am I the one that's on TV and talking? I'm trying to do these pickups and drop-offs, man. But yeah, she's coming on again this week. It's going to be a weekly thing. It was really a hit at the end of last Tuesday's pod. That's my greatest production contribution. And also just generally, I feel like my biggest criticism of myself in the first couple of shows is I'm trying too hard to be a host and not being myself. And you told me a long time ago, hey, my name is on the show, they're coming for me. So got to be myself, and having my wife around allows me to relax in a way that I'm not worried about hosting. Just worried about having a good time.
I will say this, though. When you say, don't tell her you said this, that tells me everything I need to know about whether or not she listens to Foxworth Blank Day on The Right Time with Bomani Jones.
I refuse to let anybody listen to or watch anything that I don't like people that I actually friends and family with. It's been real uncomfortable because when it's my own podcast, I got to promote it. And so then my friends and family see it and like, oh, I can't wait to listen. And I'm like, I don't know. It's just, I don't like that. Cause then they be coming and I'm like at my son's football game and stuff. And people want to talk to me about the takes I made. Like I want to keep my stuff separate, like my separated, like them little plates at the cookout. With the divide in them.
With the divide.
I want a divide. Yeah, I want my life in it. That's why she's really prolific on Instagram. And I don't be on there. In large part because I don't like people to be knowing my business.
Yeah, I am a non-existent Instagram person at this point. I used to, when it was early, I was like, yo, I want to share my life with you. I want to show you guys that we kind of live the same. And then when I started getting places, I want to show you guys where we going. And then I was like, I don't want y'all to know nothing. And you know why? Because it used to be that my followers were the homies. Then the proportion of haters and indifferent began to swamp the homies, at which point it was like, I can't give y'all nothing.
I don't know. Like, if I were unmarried like you, that might be the motivation to get me on Instagram. Like, I have no motivation to get on Instagram. I don't want to show y'all my life. But I feel like that's how, and maybe you are just above that line as far as like the women that you're interested in is and their ages. But I feel like this Instagram seems like, or social media in general, like seems like it is integral to like modern day flirting and relationships. Everybody I know is like, yeah. Rather than asking for numbers now, you ask people for their like Snap or IG. So like, I don't know. Yeah. I guess you don't have no trouble in that area.
Nah, I guess. I don't know. That's a great question. I ain't even thought about it that far, to be honest. But hey, man, we had a interesting day of NFL football. Where you want to start?
We can start anywhere, man. I that Ravens game, the Lamar Jackson money situation, the Tua. We did Debatable, recorded it last night, and Charlie, who's also like producer and kind of co-host kind of on my show, tried to discredit Tua's game.
And what?
He has some foolishness about the yak and throwing it to people and they making these plays and Ravens busted coverages. And I said, boy, if you don't, a man threw for 469 and 6 touchdowns, and you try to find a way to discredit him? It's outrageous. Well,
I will say this.
Uh-oh.
Okay. I mean, it's not Tua's fault that the coverages were busted, but there were some busted coverages, right? And I will note that if you expect to see him hit Tyreek Hill in stride on those deep routes, that's not going to happen. Tyreek going to have to slow down just a little bit. Like, that's what this is going to be. However, all I thought in watching the Dolphins with him and Waddle, H-Town, by the way, Jalen Waddle, H-Town. All I thought as I watched the two of them boys is, ooh, they going to be your problem. Because you can't shade to two sides, right? You can shade to one side. You can shade to the other side. You can't shade to two sides. And them boys got giddy up. All the giddy up.
That Waddle game-leading or game-winning touchdown, they doubled Tyreek Hill. I mean, it was the definition of it. And then we got they kind of benched Gesicki because Mike McDaniel kind of hinted that Gesicki can't block, so he can't really play in his system, and he didn't really play much in week one at tight end because he's a pass-catching tight end. But if you go ahead and give up on that running part of it, you can't cover all them, like, that was the simple analysis before the season when I was like saying that they were going to be good. It's like Tua's accurate. He's not a dummy. He can manage a game. And nobody got enough guys. You just don't got enough guys because they got guys on both sides and a guy in the middle and running backs that can break it off if you have to. And a smart quarterback that makes quick decisions. And the yak is accuracy is part of the yak. Yes. Get a man that ball in stride. But not over the shoulder in stride. He can hit you over the middle in stride. He's not going to hit you over the shoulder in stride. But to be honest, nobody really hits Tyreek Hill over the shoulder in stride because he's just too damn fast.
Fair. Like, Kurt Warner made the Hall of Fame on yak. And that wasn't shade. He was as good as anybody I've ever seen. Joe Montana made the Hall of Fame on yak. Steve Young largely made the Hall of Fame on yak. Like, there's a skill to it. I don't know about Tua since the very beginning on this, right? Like, his whole thing to me flipped up when they took his Heisman and gave it to Kyler Murray. Unfairly, I will note, nothing's really been the same. Then my man hurt his hip, and even less was the same. And then he was on the clock in a way that I hadn't ever seen a guy be on the clock after a year, let alone 2 years. You had people out here talking about you should start Ryan Fitz. No, we should not, under no circumstance whatsoever. Not if you think this other dude got a future, because you know what time it is with Ryan Fitzpatrick, who does have a little hate in his heart he sees when he talks about Tua. I mean, not that he's wrong when he says that Tua has some limitations. It just don't sound right when you say it.
Yeah, you got some limitations too, bruh. That's why you wearing party shirts on Amazon right now.
Dog, I was like, how did he bite my man Spencer's whole steez? His everything, his beard, that shirt, that jacket, he just bit Spencer's whole steez. And he owes Spencer an apology.
He should, or some money. Like, he's out here swagger jacking. Spencer should sue.
But here's the other thing I had about the Dolphins game. I was curious what you thought about this. When they had that last drive, and they called that run for Chase Edmonds that turned into like a 35-yard run or whatever. I was like, I'm not sure what you're doing except that dude crazy fast too. Yeah. And if you out here worried about the other two crazy fast.
Yeah, I broke down a bunch of the big plays in that game. That's the one play I didn't break down, but I can go ahead and guess what happened is Waddle was breaking them off. Gesicki was breaking them off. Hill was breaking them off and everybody was on the edges. Looking on the edges, doubling on the edges, and you just got to hit one block. It's the same thing with the Lamar Jackson big play. Is when you load the box to stop the run with Lamar Jackson, you got one level to get past, and then it's over. And the same thing kind of happened is if you load the outsides trying to stop those big play receivers, you get one block, boy, out the gate.
By the way, give Lamar his money. Like, if you watch that game, they had 4 offensive touchdowns and a kick return. But Lamar was bananas. Now, I do think a fair criticism is, if you the man and he the man, if you the man, at some point in the fourth quarter, you just gonna have to be the dude to be like, hey, we gotta slow this situation down, right? Like, I understand that this is nitpicking, this is not blaming him for losing the game, but it's kind of like Matt Ryan in that Super Bowl, right? Like, at some point, you gotta be the one to get us a first down or something, whatever, to stem this tide. But man, he was so good before that and just hitting them dudes in stride. Like, the accuracy that we saw from him, you ain't gonna make that criticism about him right now. You may be able to do it next week, but you wasn't gonna be able to do it this week. Then the big run up the middle, right? There was the fumble early on the snap, and you know, I guess that happens, right? Like, that's the Tom Brady had that happen to him down there in New Orleans. But nah, man, that dude looked like, yo, give me my money.
I won't, yeah, I don't really agree necessarily with your criticism of him needing to, I guess not really a criticism. I get your point. Like, that's what you would want out of your veteran star quarterback. But also, it's not like he is playing for the Browns. Like, he's playing for John Harbaugh, who's one of the best coaches in football, an organization that makes a lot of, that continuously makes good decisions. So, like, it's weird to, like, step up in that moment and try to take the reins. But I guess I understand that's another level, because that's something Tom Brady might do. And mm-hmm. he ain't there yet, but I agree with you there. One of the big kickers for me was their fourth down inefficiency, because one of the things about having an offense like this is, are we good on fourth and two, baby?
Yeah,
we good on fourth and one, baby. But they had a red zone, like, fourth and goal from like the 1 yard line. Lamar fumbled. The Dolphins answered with a 97 yard drive. Lamar didn't fumble. It was a botched snap, which he's never under center, so that might be part of the reason why you could criticize him, blah blah blah. And earlier in the game, they had a quarterback sneak, and they had Andrews do it, I think. So for whatever reason, they had Lamar do it right there. He fumbled. They go 97 yard drive. In the fourth quarter, it was fourth down around midfield. They went for it with a run with Lamar. And I'm not used to seeing this not work. And this would have, like, put the game out of reach. Lamar didn't get it done. And they score off of that. And then they had another situation where, and it's not on Lamar, he rolled out and threw a perfect pass to the tight end, rookie tight end likely, and he just dropped it. And that would have gave him first down to put the game away. So, like, as much as the defense stunk in the second half, the offense had their chances to get it done, too.
Well, I think if there's one thing, I mean, I may be taking too much because we've only had 2 weeks of the season, but if there is a bright side of week two for the Ravens, is if you look around and see your division compadres, and you're like, oh, yeah, we should be good. Yeah. We should be straight. The Steelers, like, zombie Steelers and zombie Patriots, like, it looks nothing like we've seen for the last 20 years. But there we had it. Steelers, that ain't looking so great. The Bengals out here, like, so you do realize we won all those playoff games last year by this much, right? This much. Maybe, just maybe, we weren't actually that good, right? Okay, we got that one. And the Browns. Now, understand that I spent my Sunday with a Jets fan to the left of me and somebody who was a Ravens fan to the right of me, because they put $1,000 on Ravens -3.5, which looked really sure.
Yeah, he was spending that money already.
Until it didn't, right? And it's so wild, like, watching with a gambler, because the gambler is, like, rooting for particular scenarios. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, we don't want the game to get to this place, because then the defense might just give up a touchdown and then it'll be a 3-point game. And then that, of course, became moot. Just became full on moot. And before I forget about this, our man, we got to come up with a clever nickname for Mike McDaniel, right?
I have it. It's Black Mike.
Okay, I was trying to figure out if White Mike held. I couldn't decide because like, even though he is black, he does have some of the White Mike characteristics, but right, not really, because I mean, he's not leaning all the way in on being White Mike.
It's like when you call a big dude tiny, kind of.
Yes.
You know, yes. Like, I feel like if he leaned in, if we didn't have to, like, do some Google research, if he leaned into the blackness that he is, we couldn't call him Black Mike. That ain't fun or funny.
Correct.
But I feel like, yeah, I had that written in my notes. Look at Black Mike out there taking the league by storm.
Yo, there is no more ironic nickname than White Mike, because White Mike is white.
Yeah, but that's fair.
We call you White Mike because you lead it in the other. Like, it's a trick
but
bag.
I guess to me that feels a little bit like mean, which I guess I'm not above being a little bit mean, but like, I don't know.
Also, he made it clear to us that he is not white. Black Mike, I think, goes. Black Mike was out there in them aviator shades.
Oh,
looking cold. Like he was running things.
I mean, Harbaugh and Belichick, first two games, he is like the anti Nathaniel Hackett. And it is impressive.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
By the way, did you watch any of the Broncos?
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you who didn't look so good in that game, at least not to me. That would be Russell Prince Wilson.
Prince? Oh, man. Princess wasn't there to root him on. Was she there? I don't know if she was there or not. But yeah, he is benefiting from his head coach looking even more worse than he looked. I mean, it's hard to come down on Russell, and when we see what's happening out there with them and their decision making. So he kicked a 64-yarder last week, and he had a 59-yarder this week, and was like, "Nah, let's punt it." And that was like the best of his mistakes.
Yeah, at altitude, like this time, you actually playing in the long field goal place.
Yeah, and I mean, they had to delay a game to take a field goal off the board, and that's what led to the punt. They, again, took the ball out of Russell's hands in a pivotal situation and had a tight end running the option. Like, it was just a mess.
And see, that I don't blame on. Like, that right there is, oh, you think you cute.
Yeah.
Like, that's the only conclusion I can draw when you make a decision like that is, oh, you think you cute.
Oh, and I forgot about the time when he wasted a timeout because they had a delay a game. They were going to get delay a game on, like, the 5-yard line. It's going to push him back, like, 5 yards. Like, insignificant when it comes to kicking field goals. But frantic Nathaniel had to call a timeout and burned it.
Yo, and he going to learn. Russell Wilson does not suffer in silence. Like, the whole world might not find out about it, but Russell, this pleasure will be made known. Please understand that. He probably going to do it like really nicely, perhaps with some might turn passive aggressively, but you're going to find out.
I don't know what Russell going to do, but he ain't going to stay for this that long. But I mean, the fans aren't going to turn on him. I feel like he's only going to get loud when the stuff turn on him. I feel like as long as Nathaniel there doing Nathaniel things, they not going to turn to. And I feel like it's fair just in general. Like, it feels like we don't turn on coaches because we don't understand what their job is until it's too late. But it's quite clear that we know what his job is and he ain't doing it.
I'm just saying, in your life experience, on one side has been a Nathaniel Hackett. Yeah. On the other side has been a Russell Wilson. And you telling me they can't find a way to blame the Prince?
Yeah. My bad. Yeah, like
I'm just saying, the Prince ain't the one making $100 million of, you know, however much Russell got, you know, getting in the first year guaranteed or whatever. Like, no, I mean, you're right. He should be there, and they've been so thirsty for a quarterback since Peyton Manning's neck gave out. So I think they'll be happy with this for a while, and they go win some games, right? Because their defense is going to be good enough that they can win some games. They're just not going to play the Texans every week, right? Like, they played the bad Seahawks and didn't win, and then played the Texans at home and got it. Like, none of that is encouraging.
They're out here playing feisty teams and struggling. You're not supposed to struggle with feisties. Like, I understand they're going to, they can hang around for a couple of quarters because they're in the NFL, but we're not supposed to be holding our breath. The fans did a countdown for that team. How disrespectful. They gave that boy the Giannis Antetokounmpo free throw line countdown so that they wouldn't get a delay of game. And I mean, the point that you made about them turning on Russ, that's fair. It brought to mind something that was stressful for me this weekend was, I don't root for anybody to get hurt, but I got to admit, when Dak Prescott got hurt, a little bit relieved, because I've become a bit of a Dak Prescott defender, in large part because y'all are stupid and was trying to tell me he was bad and that they shouldn't pay him. And I was the only one for a long time defending him. So then people made a joke about how I was a part of their family. And so I became Dak's cousin. When in actuality, what happened was y'all was being biased and dumb. And I remembered when I was being dumb and said that they should sit Dak as a rookie. And then I watched that game that they lost and was like, oops, my bad. That boy Cole, y'all better pay him before he get too expensive. But the point I was making this weekend was, it's a point that you know, that you bring up often. Y'all better have a black backup. Y'all had better have a black backup. And I'm nervous right now because I don't know that anyone's had to take yet, but let Cooper Rush win another game.
Oh, no, no, no. Here's the thing. Let him win another game. That's fine. But there's going to be an L that looks so horrendous that everybody's going to be like, oh, damn. That's right. Like, that's what happens with, like, the Tyler Heinickes of the world. I was really high on that Tyler Heinicke guy at one point. Then I watched once and I was like, oh, okay, that's why ain't nobody draft him. Right? Like these things happen. And then these guys that for whatever reason are playing over their heads. And Cooper Rush does appear to be upper tier backup. Right? Like, there's been only, I think, in the last couple years, they've only really brought one dude off the oak where I was like, oh, you may have something here. And that's White Mike with the Jets.
Yep.
White Mike for the Jets came in and I was like, oh, wait a minute here. I'm a little confused as to why this gentleman isn't getting more looks. I'm sure there's a reason, right? But I can't see it right now. But now it'll come. There's going to be that moment. That's going to happen. I still, though, was watching that game and I'll give this to Mike McCarthy. He decided to go hard with Cooper Rush, like going for fourth downs and stuff like that, where you putting the ball in his hands and letting him make the pass. Like, they clearly have a certain level of confidence in him because this team is absolutely going to need the quarterback to carry him, because that plan previously about Zeke, man, whoo boy, that's Zeke, man, we got to put that boy in the time machine. Like, it's a wrap there. Like, Tony Pollard still seems to be capable, but he ain't a star. Zeke was a star, and now he a player on a football team.
Yeah, I mean, they got the defense, which is better than I had anticipated. They played well. I mean, Micah Parsons, boy.
Woo!
Him and Trayvon Diggs played really well in this game. He played well in the last game, too, I thought, even though he gave up a score. But Micah damn Parsons, man, that dude. It seems like they just put him on the edge most of the time now. I haven't looked at his numbers, but I don't see him. Every time I look up, he getting after somebody quarterback. And poor Lyle Collins, like, there was one of the sacks where he blocked him on the right side all the way to the left side. Micah made a second move. Lyle was still with him, and damn quarterback Joe Burrow refused to pass the ball. And on his third move, like, you can't expect somebody to stay with Micah Parsons through three moves. Like, that's not fair. That man run a real legit 4-3. It's not, he's like freaking Zion Williamson out there with his combination of size and athleticism. It's unique.
Yo, he's kind of, I'm going to have to make a If You Know You Know reference as the comp that I have for him. He's like the next level of Peter Boulware.
Mm, yeah.
Like a dude that can play, you know, off the ball linebacker and also be an all-pro caliber pass rusher, except as good a pass rusher as Peter Boulware was. Micah Parsons is on a different level with this. That's frightening.
Boulware is the Dunbar, Baltimore guy. So I remember him quite well. He was a monster. But yeah, Micah Parsons, this is just his second year, man. He two games into his second year, and he, like, legitimately, statistically, the best pass rusher in football as far as win rate. He just doesn't do it as much as everyone else. And I don't know. Then you can put him out on the edge. Like, I brought this up before. I've seen it many times. He be moving around in the secondary. Like, I'm hesitant to say like a corner because that's gone too far, but at least like a safety. He looks completely comfortable back there like a safety. It's like, it feels like there are a couple players, Lamar Jackson falls in this category. There's a couple players that feel like you playing youth football and like he just better than everybody else. You know, like, I had a weekend of kids soccer and football, and sometimes they're just a kid out there. That it just ain't fair. You put him anywhere, he's going to be better than everybody else. Micah Parsons is out here doing that.
Yeah, and as you mentioned that thing about Joe Burrow, because Joe Burrow is about to be he's being betrayed by his offensive line, but he also holds the ball too long. Like, what did we say last week? Sacks are a quarterback stat, and he holds the ball too long. And he's going to have to figure that out because they coming for him every time. And he moves so well in the pocket that who knows, right? Maybe the ones he takes is equal to the ones he avoids. It's the Russell Wilson conundrum, right? Even still, man, he's taking way too many of these, dog. Way too many.
Especially since it's not like he has been healthy. He's already missed most of a season with an ACL. And even though Trey Lance got hurt running the ball in a design run, like, it's so much rarer that that happens. He's standing in these messy-ass pockets, bouncing around in these junky pockets, holding the ball a little too long like that. That's scary. You got to... He's like comped with Tom Brady so often for whatever reason, I guess, because he's not like a super rocket arm and he has that pocket presence. But you know what Tom Brady do? Get rid of that ball when that heat coming. So go ahead. You can do that. Everything don't got to be these new age quarterbacks got all our heads messed up, including the other quarterbacks. Like Joe Burrow, you don't got to be Josh Allen. You don't got to be Patrick Mahomes. Throw that thing away. You can be Tom Brady. It's all right.
Yeah, there is still room. Like, you're going to be a little limited in the new world order, right? If you can't get around. And Joe Burrow can, so it's good to have. But in the end, there's still going to be a step up and get that thing out of there, right? Like, that. There's always going to be a value in that. You're just going to have to be on some next level because them boys coming fast. But you're going to have to figure that. And so, Zach Taylor, I guess Mike Brown is cheap, so he ain't going to fire nobody before the deal is, like, actually up. But Zach Taylor is in that, hell, you was who you was when you got here situation. You're looking remarkably similar to what we had seen before. Okay, that's not good, but, you know, that's you.
I mean, he should show, I don't know what he can point to. He can point to the run to the Super Bowl, but, like, specifically, and we've been through it on this podcast, I've been through it on my own podcast, like, breaking down that run to the Super Bowl and why you should not, like, it felt like a Sweet 16 or a Cinderella March Madness run. And that ain't no reason to extend your head coach in college. And that should not be a reason to stick around. So, like, I'm not sure what he points to. And maybe I'm not embedded in that organization. Maybe Bengals fans know better than me, or Bengals beat reporters know better than me. But, like, it doesn't seem like Joe Burrow's gotten, like, significantly better, at least in the ways that matter. Like, you could at least coach Joe Burrow out of this foolishness. Like, the never give up of him is remarkable. But say that thing for the fourth quarter when we need it. Like, it's okay. It's okay to surrender a couple fronts here and there to protect your team and not turn the ball over and also protect your body. So, yeah, I'm not sure what he's pointing to for a reason to keep him, but I'm sure he's not on the hot seat because they did go to Super Bowl last year. And as you mentioned, yeah, Mike ain't paying nothing extra.
He ain't paying nobody not to work. No matter who you are, he ain't paying nobody not to work. I'm going to dip my toe into something. I only want to dip my toe in, right? I've made this mistake before. I made this mistake 8 years ago. I'm just going to dip my toe in, okay? How many weeks...
He's done. Tom Brady.
How many weeks do we give Tom Brady before we start expecting a little bit more out of him? I mean, they're 2-0 and good for them. But I mean, granted, the Saints have been kryptonite for him in large part, and it looked like it again. But how many weeks do we give it before we start asking questions about, I mean, like, we need to set a number right now where we all come to a consensus and say, look, after 6 weeks, maybe we come back and talk about it, right?
I think if we wait 6 weeks, we late. If he put up four more weeks of this, we late. I don't know. I think I'm going to dive in. Maybe not my whole body, but I'm thinking I'm going to put a full foot in there, maybe up to my knees. I'm going in the shallow end to discuss this because it's real, man. It's like there's so much. You can only defy this stuff. This is, reminds me a little bit of, I try to learn lessons as I get older. And the lesson I learned from the Bucks and Chiefs Super Bowl, I brought it up a number of times, is that there's some things about football that cannot be overcome. And one thing is, if you can't protect a quarterback, I don't care. And I was high on Mahomes back then, and I thought he was going to overcome all that, even though I knew their offensive line was bad. And so I bring that same, that's not the exact same thing that's happening here, but I bring that same like reasoning to this, because what's happening here is we got off the field drama. We got being 45 years old. We have injuries on the offensive line. Everything is pointing to maybe we had him fully retire and come back, go away for 11 days during training camp. Like, the only thing, and this is why I brought up the Mahomes thing, the only thing that's keeping us from doing an honest assessment of Tom Brady right now
did it 8 years ago and it blew up in our faces. Right. That's why we're not doing it.
Right. And that to me is like, we know at some point he's going to be bad, right?
Well, I feel like, and the reason I said 6 weeks was he could pop up and have a very good game, right? Because he's still capable of that, right? And so we need to be able to take that as part of a somewhat larger sample, right? And then, you know, come back. But if he puts up four of these in a row, oh, now we're talking about something completely different. I tell you this, though. Did you see when Mike Evans, they caught Mike Evans after he threw that dude on the ground? And somebody came up in his face about it. He's like, yo, that's Tom Brady. What you think I'm supposed to do? Like, I am the closest person to the situation. Even I, Mike Evans, all-pro receiver, potential Hall of Famer by the time it's all said and done, I have to get out here and do dirty work for Tom Brady.
It must be done. Tom Brady can't fight. I don't think 25-year-old Tom Brady was about them fisticuffs. Not with like them real deal defensive players. So yeah, mm-hmm. Tom Brady gonna talk, but somebody that's offensive line's job. I don't know where they were. I haven't seen all 22 of the fight, which is something that we definitely kept it on every team I played with. Like they clip all the tape, but every team I play with, practice fights, game fights, all the brawls, all the coaches tell a cameraman, keep it rolling. And then we break that down afterwards, just like we break the game down. You better not be walking away from no fight. Better get up in there. Mike Evans wasn't going to be the guy on tape closest to Tom Brady. Fournette kicked it off. Guy stepped to Tom Brady. He jumped on him. You know Tom Brady good for it. He paying everybody fine. He better.
Let me tell you this, boy. That was Galveston on one side, New Orleans on the other. I don't want to be in the middle of that, dog. I'm just telling you my knowledge of what goes on 45 and on I-10. I'm just telling you right now, that's two I really wouldn't want no parts of myself personally. Like both of them coming, especially not Leonard. Leonard's the dude who tried to fight on one leg and then decided, you know what? I will play in the game today.
Forgot about that.
Yeah, that's the Leonard Fournette moment. That was the warriors are in the house right here. That was the Leonard Fournette moment. Right, did right. I hopped out here on one leg and said, you know what? I will play today.
Yeah, he ran through my man Tyrann Mathieu in a game at some point. Just like, it wasn't like a run over on your back, it was like a run over on your side. And my man Tyrann Mathieu out there doing log rolls. Like,
hey, no, them, not only is Leonard in the hometown for this, he and Tyrann went to the same high school.
Oh, yeah, they did.
They went to St. Aug. So, like, if you go to college at one of the black schools in Atlanta, basically everybody from New Orleans went to St. Aug. They all did. Like, if there was a dude, he went to St. Aug. Apparently, that was what you had to do in order to, like, get out of New Orleans, is to go to St. Aug. But they all did. Every single one of them seemed to go there.
Stan Verrett went there, too, I think. I talked to him when I wrote the piece on Tyrann Mathieu. That school is worth researching if you haven't, reading about it, because I didn't know anything about it. It's a impressive story down there, and Tyrann Mathieu, and none of that matter, because I think Tyrann Mathieu was like overlooked in part because Leonard Fournette was younger and showed up, and everybody was coming to town to watch Lenny run. Ain't nobody care about little Tyrann over there.
Yeah, look at this amazing instinctive defensive back. Yeah, that don't pack the seats quite the same way. I want to throw this here for you because I feel like you deserve it, and I don't know if it's the same for you as it is for me. But I found that when I checked my Twitter mentions last week, there was a heavy population of a demographic that I haven't seen since Sunday night, and that's Bears fans. I raised the point that Bears fans were a little upset with you for saying they were sorry. They explained their problems a little more deeply. I understood kind of where they were coming from, but they got mad at me where I was like, wow, week one is when you know it's week one when Bears fans are mad at you for saying that they're sorry because they'll be doing it themselves by week five. And what do you know? Week two came around and they look like boo-boo.
Yeah. It's sad. I want them to do well. I said this before. The funny thing is that you know how the news cycle works is we all looking for something to grab onto and talk about. And I gave the Bears media something to talk about in week one. If you listen to the whole thing, it wasn't like coming down on the Bears. Like, I'm rooting for Poles and Flus. Like, there's people that I like and I want them to do well in Justin Fields. The fact of the matter was, what I said wasn't untrue. They out here wasting early portions of Justin Fields' career, and that stinks. They look promising, though, like in some ways, I guess, considering that we thought they were just going to be all the way garbage. Like, they put up a fight last night. That's something to lean on, and they can rebuild. But it feels like the biggest issue is, as important as it is to have a quarterback on a rookie deal, that's like the easiest way to win a Super Bowl. You out here squandering your quarterback on a rookie deal because you had a panicky coach back there who was trying to save his job.
Also a quarterback that I think we'll see. I'm not nearly as sold on Fields as a lot of people are, and it's just because he holds the ball so long. And in college, the argument was made that the routes were so late developing at Ohio State, and they were going to get you enough time because they were Ohio State. And of course, he was throwing to butt-naked open people because Ohio State is like, give me all your wide receivers. They need to figure out, not just give him what he needs to be successful. They need to give him what he needs for them to make a proper evaluation of what quarterback it is and exactly what they need to do to get around him. But they looked bad in that game. Like, you know, and they look bad on defense in a way that I found to be surprising. Like, as an Aaron Jones fantasy owner, it worked out very well. That was cool. But otherwise, I was like, damn, what y'all out here doing?
I mean, I think that's how we expected them to look, though. Yeah, so, like, I think what happened week one, they played a game in a bowl of soup, and people thought that they were better than they are. Like, no, they're not good. And the Packers aren't that good either. They don't seem like it yet, at least, and they made the Packers look good. Last year's Packers would have put up 45 on them. And so I think the Bears, they got something to build on, I guess. I'm with you on Justin Fields. I'm not completely sold on him, but he's that dangerous level of talent that he gonna do something special every now and then. And this is why you can't get a fair evaluation on him. It's because he's going to do something every now and then that's special. And then the story coming out of it is going to be, man, Justin Fields is special. They just need to get something around him. And then if they get something around him and he still hold on to the ball too long and still do all this stuff and do something every special every now and then you've essentially ruined not only his first part of his career, but ruined a potential championship window, because they're going to go all in on him. Presumably the next couple of years, right? They're going to build around him like he Justin Herbert or somebody.
Yeah, and they're in a division where, like, if you're looking at it for the next however many years, you really can't look farther than 2 years in the NFL, but still, right? Aaron Rodgers can't do this but for so long, right? That's not a dude I think that's going to be able to play till 45, anything like that, because so much of his game is predicated on athleticism. Like, that's when that declines, then we talk about something else. The Vikings always going to be the Vikings as long as they got Kirk Cousins. There's going to be a ceiling on how far you can go with that, right? Like, I mean, it's been years. I could say, yeah, I didn't think he was an NFL quarterback. He's an NFL quarterback, but there's a ceiling on how far you can go with that. And then over there are the Lions. Like, the Bears, there's a division they have a chance to get up to. But I got to say this. When Dan Campbell took that job with the Dolphins a few years ago, he didn't seem like my sort of dude. And I was working with Dan Le Batard, and Dan Campbell is 100% not his sort of dude, right? Like, that variety of traditional masculinity is not Dan's bag, right? He's called a man Campbell. He wasn't here for that. Dude, I watched a couple episodes of that Hard Knocks, you know, and I looked at his hiring practices. I want good things for them. I was so happy to see them hold on and not fully lying out against Washington. Good for them. I want great things to happen for them.
I think the question is, who would you rather be? Would you rather be the Lions right now or the Bears right now? And it's an easy question for me. I'd rather be the Lions right now.
Yeah, and the Lions did that interesting thing. The Panthers kind of did it, but did it wrong. But the Lions have not jumped on a quarterback. Right. They did not get into the place like last year. If Kenny Pickett was the best quarterback in the draft, you don't take a quarterback. Like, I looked at that from the standpoint of the Steelers when they took Pickett at 20th. If you can get him at 20, you should wait till the second round, because if nobody else was like, yo, we need to jump up and make this happen, you need to go try to get a bargain. Like, that needs to be the way that you go about this. The Lions, they went and took Aiden Hutchinson, who I believe had 3 sacks or something like that in the first half. I know he had at least 3 for the game, but he was out there looking monstrous.
Yeah. He gonna be something, and I mean, yeah, they building something there, and that's That's the difference. I know you want to go for the quarterback, but it don't matter if the quarterback ain't good. You know, like, you can't just be drafting quarterbacks because you need a quarterback. Jared Goff is good enough for now. They'll find somebody to replace him, or they'll try to do what the 49ers did around Jared Goff, what the Rams did around Jared Goff. I was thinking about my man Jimmy G. They try to build up around him in a way that he can't ruin it for you, which is, I don't know, like, I think that's a reasonable thing to do. Chasing these once-in-a-lifetime quarterbacks, just because it's like four or five of them in the league right now, people think that they can find one. Don't do it. Stop it. You got to go a different route. If one falls in your lap, cool. But you ain't just going to go out here and draft one. They just not growing on trees like that.
By the way, I'm glad you mentioned the 49ers before we get out of here, because I almost lost track. But hey, man, we got to be honest about this. That Trey Lance trade was bad, right? And my argument, I always felt like if you're giving up that much draft capital for somebody who can't start day one, you're probably making a mistake. Mm-hmm. Now they gave up all of that, and it's nobody's fault per se, right? But they gave up all of that for a dude that they're going to get a contribution from at year three at the earliest. That being said, that get Jimmy G down to 6.5 move is looking awful brilliant right now.
Brilliant.
Especially since it's not like you get to keep your own pick, right? So there's no incentive for you to be terrible.
When everyone was up in arms about how difficult it was going to be for Trey Lance to own the team with Jimmy Garoppolo in the locker room, yeah, I didn't agree with that at all. In part, like, we talked about it because I felt like the team was thirsty. They wasn't going to be hoping they could get back on Jimmy. They was thirsty for a quarterback that can take them to the next level. So I didn't think that was a problem. But now it looks incredible. Like, the season's not lost. Jimmy, you can win a Super Bowl with Jimmy Garoppolo. This team that made it to the Super Bowl is not as good. Or this team is not as good as the team that made it to the Super Bowl with Jimmy Garoppolo. But, I mean, they seem to figure it out in the playoffs every year and make a little bit of a run. So this ain't bad. All is not lost. But if they make – it'll be incredibly interesting how this plays out for them the next several years if Jimmy G takes them on another little run, or if Jimmy G is on the – I'm not going to call him the driver of the bus, to use the basketball terminology. If Jimmy G is on this train that goes deep again – it'll be interesting what they do next season.
Yeah, they need to get some big leads. Like, that's the whole thing about it with Jimmy. You get you a big lead, you might have a chance here. But if this is going to come down to a similar situation where Jimmy got to make it happen, I don't know. Like, I was watching Cliff Kingsbury try to get himself fired. You saw that game where he was trying to get himself fired? And I feel like Cliff is set up to where he can't get fired in the middle of the year because he run the whole damn offense, right? Like, he's insulated himself in that regard. And Kyler Murray did not play well in that game. But when that came down to it at the end, there were plays that needed to be made, and he made those plays. Like, where they had that defensive holding play, what he did to get away from Max Crosby and everything else, like, he can do those things. You know, he had the one he threw to A.J. Green that A.J. Green didn't bring in. Like, there are things that he can do where even if he plays poorly, it's like, okay, but he can step up here and make something happen for us. You ain't getting that from a Jimmy Garoppolo, man.
Jimmy Garoppolo, he bad. Like, the Cardinals definitely should have lost that game, but they didn't because of Kyler Murray. And maybe I didn't, like, watch all 22 of that one yet. I don't know if I'm going to, but maybe they were in that situation because of Kyler Murray. Like, I don't know. I didn't watch all. I watched the game, but I didn't break it all the way down and see what the problems were. Maybe they were in that situation because of him. That's fine. But he can get you out of it. And if you are in a bad situation, it's not because of him. He can get you out of it. That's why you pay him money like that, because he can get you out of it. I don't know if his film study is up to where it needs to be or whatever, but it don't matter. He ran, I think it was 87 yards on that touchdown play. 87 yards, not an 87-yard gain. He scrambled for 87 yards to then eventually run it in.
Let me tell you this. If you were watching Cliff struggle to get them plays in on fourth downs, like, even coming out of, like, timeouts, I feel very confident where I'm throwing my blame on this one. The look on your face.
Going for the 2-point, you have 2-point plays. Like, you come into every, like, you don't even have to think of a play or decide a play. It's already decided. They got to delay a game, and Kyler bailed their asses out. They got to delay a game.
That's right. That's, I forgot, terrible. That's how that played out. It was a 2-point conversion.
Kyler scored the touchdown. It was a 2-point conversion, and they didn't have a play in for the 2-point conversion play. It's week two. You haven't even used your first one yet. You know, you might have to go to the next one in week three or four. They got to delay. That's bad, man. That's too bad.
Yeah, Suge White gonna have to make a decision there, dog. Like maybe we need to find out how much Cliff studied, right? Yeah. Right? Maybe we need to get to the bottom of that. I don't know. But hey, man, that is Dominique Foxworth. Check him out on the Dominique Foxworth Show Tuesdays and Thursdays. Subscribe, follow that podcast. Also check him up, Get Up, First Take, Anscape, Debatable, all over the place. My man, I appreciate you.
Always, brother. I appreciate you.
All right. Now, and ladies and gentlemen, thanks so much for joining us here on The Right Time. Thanks for watching us on YouTube. Gabe Bassane and Adi Khan handling everything behind the scenes. Thank you, gentlemen. Remember, follow The Right Time. Rate us, review us, give us 5 stars. You only give us 4 stars. I'm inclined to believe you are a hater. And we'll talk to you guys in a couple of days. Take it easy.
Thanks for checking out The Right Time with Bomani Jones Podcast.
You can listen or follow on the ESPN app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
The Right Time
with Bomani Jones.